And good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The UK has become the first country to approve the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, making the first 800,000 doses available next week. Now, while this is being hailed as the harbinger of the pandemic's end, it has come with costs, costs that many are willing to overlook in exchange for a promised return to normality. Joining us on the show tonight, we are delighted to welcome Professor Sanjeev Krishna, Professor of Molecular Parasitology and Medicine at the Institute of Infection and Immunity in London. He's working on an antigen and antibody rapid test kits for COVID-19, as well as point-of-care PCR tests. Now, good evening, Sanjeev. Good to have you on. Interesting developments in the UK. So what was your reaction to the news that the UK has approved this specific vaccine for mass vaccination?
Well, my reaction initially was that Astra One have got the timing spot on for discussing vaccines. This is really a golden moment, I think, and we should just pause and think a little bit about what's happened and what's brought us to this point. We've got a global pandemic, which really is less than a year old almost, just about a year old. And it has devastated the lives, the economies, and in fact, the whole global community. And as you say, you know, we've been working on diagnostics, we've had advances on the treatment side, but a huge amount of expectation and hope has depended on having a vaccine. Now, before the scientific and medical efforts began, we really didn't know if it was going to be an achievable goal or not. And what the pandemic has done is to pull together the whole of the global scientific, medical, and research communities, as well as industry, as well as regulators, and as well as people who are participating in these trials, to deliver at record speed what is going to be, I think, the first of several vaccines. So it is a golden moment.
Sanjeev, Sanjeev, do you think there's some downside to this, to use a phrase that I think Donald Trump coined, warp speed development of this vaccine? The kinds of things that you've observed as a scientist and a clinician, are you concerned about those elements of the way the vaccine has developed?
That's a very important question, Sharad. I listen very carefully, and I look very carefully at the evidence. And one of the, in terms of safety, for example, as things are being developed, and one of the, if you like, issues that has arisen in the way that the pandemic has unfolded is often, as scientists and clinicians, we don't see the full evidence until a little bit later. So we hear in the press what's going on. Now, when it comes to, what President Trump says, I think we put that to one side. We stick to what, what the evidence is. And what we heard this morning in the press conference from the regulatory agency here in the UK that has approved the first vaccine was a very detailed summary of how carefully they have been evaluating the whole development of this vaccine, especially and more than anything else from the point of view of safety. So as far as we can tell, those of us who are not actually in the process directly, all the assurances, as far as I'm concerned, are in place to give me great confidence. So if you ask me, Sharad, would I be willing to have this vaccine today, I would say I don't have any hesitation in saying yes.
Okay, but I do want to talk a little bit about the process, though, because while you say there was a detailed summary announced today, you know, if you look at the protocol before this, it's not been quite, it's not been according to the usual practice. Think about the announcements about the vaccine, all done by press release. There's been incomplete information up to this point, and this kind of attitude that seems to suggest, well, just trust us. How do we think through this, about that this is a slightly unusual practice? Should we not be concerned at the speed to which this has been rushed through?
Again, you know, it's a very important point you're making, Melissa. And what I would say is, you know, one week in COVID time is like 2 months in the real world. And so we won't have to. So what I mean by that is that we won't have to wait too long, probably just a matter of a few days, before data start to come out for us to be able to look at in detail. But the actual process that has allowed the regulators to come to a conclusion that this is safe has been explained extremely fully, including with questions and answers in a press conference. And I know that they have not, from the way that they've described things, that no corners on safety have been cut. Remember, 40,000 individuals have been entered into trials. That means that about 20,000 people in this phase 3 study for the vaccine that's been approved actually received the vaccine. And we know that there were no serious adverse events, that the usual types of vaccine-related events occurred, a little bit of soreness, a little bit of fever, and so on, but that the effect in preventing disease was really, I think, surprisingly good. Because when you started out without having a vaccine, the bar was set quite low. Mm. I think people said if it is 50% effective, then, you know, that's good enough. And this is now over 90% effective. Remarkable.
Sanjeev, what about the question of the British public? Do they suffer from the problem of vaccine hesitancy? Are there anti-vaxxers in Malaysia? And I don't know about how Britain scores on that in that regard, but what is that, and what impact could that have, reluctance on the part of the British public to take the vaccine?
Well, this is a very important question, and I think a large part of it depends on how messaging comes across clearly, that this is now safe, that this is effective, that the quality of the vaccine is being maintained, and that it really can change people's lives. In terms of the risks that they run. There is, I think, unfortunately, in the current social media era, which we're all in, there is this echo chamber which amplifies some of the anti-vax misinformation that there is. I mean, I come from an institution, St. George's in the University of London, where the father of vaccines trained, Edward Jenner. And so, you know, for me, this whole process of developing vaccines is a critical one. It's been one of the most important benefits to humankind in the whole history of medicine. And we should remember the benefits always when we come to appraising new vaccines, especially something like the BioNTech one, which is a new technology, but which I think has now met all the right safety standards by all accounts.
Well, there are also, you know, apart from the Pfizer vaccine, there are also many other candidates. And we're going to take a quick break, but Sanjeev, we'll have you stay on the line. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about all these other candidates. We'll be back with more on Consider This. Stay tuned.